recall these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in the heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Look at verse 12, the fifth commandment. Before we do that, though, I'm going to pray. So let's pray for God's help. Father, we ask again that you would give us ears to hear your voice this morning. Help us to understand and to concentrate, and please give us humble hearts that we would both be encouraged but also challenged. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a number of famous families in the world at the moment. There are the Smiths. Will Smith is one of the biggest names in Hollywood, and his wife Jada isn't far behind. They have a pop star daughter called Willow and a Karate Kid son called Jaden. So there's the Smith family. Then there are the Osbournes. Ozzy Osbourne is a heavy metal singer and songwriter. His wife Sharon has her own talk show and she's featured as a judge on The X Factor. They have a daughter called Kelly who had a very brief music career. So that's the Osbourne family. And of course there are the Kardashians. Reality TV's biggest stars. The entire family features on their show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And daughters Kim and Khloe, both spelt with a K, are household names. So that's the Kardashian family. But I think there's one family that is more famous than the Smiths, the Osbournes and the Kardashians. See if you recognize their names. Homer, Marge, Lisa, Bart, and Maggie. Do you know who that is? Who those are? The Simpsons are one of the most famous families in the world, and they have been for the last 25 years. Simpsons first appeared on TV in 1989, and since then there's been almost 600 episodes of The Simpsons. Homer is the father. He's generally found sitting on the sofa, eating crisps, drinking beer, and watching TV. Homer is known for being lazy, selfish, and at times angry. He's prone to these emotional outbursts, and he's often seen strangling his son Bart. Bart, his disrespectful and disobedient son. Homer and Bart have a bad relationship. Homer is uncaring, and he calls Bart the boy, or why you little? And Bart, in turn, doesn't call Homer his dad. He just calls him Homer. And we should have a 20-second clip that shows us perhaps a glimpse of how bad their relationship really is. So hopefully we'll get picture and sound.
Hey, you little cunt! Jumped on me, is it?
What's all that racket?
It's old Lady Simpson! Run!
Okay. The Simpsons give us a picture of a family. And at points, that picture is very funny. It makes us laugh, like when Bart pokes the electric toothbrush up Homer's nose, or when Homer shoves the shower in Bart's mouth, or perhaps the lowest point when Bart shoves the toilet brush back in Homer's mouth and gives it a good old scrub. The Simpsons gives us a picture of a family. But it's actually a picture of many real families. Homer is selfish and lazy and angry, and so are many parents today. Bart is disrespectful and disobedient, and so are many children today. Having a father like Homer, or a son like Bart, actually makes for a very unhappy family. We laugh at it on the TV screen, but nobody is laughing when family is like that for reality. Sadly, there are bad parents, and there are bad children, both in our culture, but also in the church. So yes, celebrity families like the Smiths or the Osbournes or the Kardashians, cartoon families like the Simpsons, they can help us laugh, but they can't really help us live. Each one of us here is a son or a daughter. Many of us here are parents. We need a better picture. We need a picture of a godly family. What does it mean to be a godly father or a godly mother? What does it mean to live as a godly son or daughter, whether we're a teenager or whether we're an adult? That's what we're going to think about this morning. And the picture we're going to look at comes in the fifth commandment. So have another look at Exodus 20, verse 12. This is the fifth commandment. God says to his people Israel, and God says to us, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The first four commandments are all about our relationship with God. That's what we've thought about over the last few weeks. And the last six commandments are all about our relationships with other people. And these two halves, what are known as the tables of the law, they're very much linked together. They're linked together in the same way that flour, milk, and eggs are linked to pancakes. Let me try and explain. Recently, I've been trying to make light and fluffy pancakes. You know, the American kind with fresh blueberries, rashers of crispy bacon, and lashings of maple syrup. Suppose I invite you over to my house to make them with me. And when you arrive at my house, I say to you, if you want to make light and fluffy pancakes, you need to dress up as an animal. You need to put this horse mask on and this bumblebee outfit on. Now, if I was to do that, at that point, you'd probably look at me and think to yourself, Johnny is more unusual than I thought he was. There's no link between dressing up as an animal and making light and fluffy pancakes. Doesn't make sense. In fact, you can make light and fluffy pancakes wearing absolutely nothing. It's not recommended, but it is possible. On the other hand, suppose you arrive at my house and I say to you, if you want to make light and fluffy pancakes, we're going to need flour, milk, and eggs. At that point, you'd look at me and think to yourself, obviously, Johnny, you can't make any type of pancake without flour, milk, and eggs. They're linked together. One leads to the other. It's similar with the Ten Commandments. They're not random, and they're not ridiculous. You can't love God, the first four commandments, without loving other people. If you love your heavenly Father, commandments 1-4, you will also love your earthly parents, commandments number 5. They're linked together, just like flour, milk, and eggs are linked to pancakes. The first four lead to the last six. Do you see? I know you've never thought of the Ten Commandments as being like flour, milk, and egg, flour, milk, and sugar, flour, milk, and eggs, and pancakes. But they are. Okay, commandment number 5. Commandment number 5 comes in two parts. There's a picture and there's a purpose. There's the what of commandment number 5 and there's the why of commandment number 5. So we'll look at it under two headings. So firstly, the picture or the what. What does the fifth commandment tell us to do? Have a look down at verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. The word honor here is the same word that's often used to describe God, or to say that God is glorious. Glorify the Lord. And to glorify the Lord or to honor him means at least two things. Firstly, it means think about how weighty he is, how heavy he is, how glorious and awesome he is. The opposite of glorifying God is to treat him lightly. to ignore him and reject his commandments, to shrug him off, to consider him as insignificant. He's light and airy. His commandments can just be blown away. Secondly, coupled with this idea of weightiness is the idea of value. To glorify the Lord or to honor God means think about how infinitely precious he is. And it's the same word that's used here in commandment number 5. Honor your father and your mother. It's almost like God is saying to us, your parents are worth their weight in gold. Don't treat them lightly. Don't ignore and reject them. Don't shrug them off or consider them as insignificant. This is a command to really value our parents. I guess for some of us here, that may be really hard. For people whose parents have caused them hurt and pain, because they were demanding, or because they were distant and demeaning, or because they were divorced, or for any number of reasons, there may be wounds in this room that haven't healed. I don't want to underestimate the damage that can be done by parents. There will be some people here asking the question, how can God expect me to honor my parents? Parents who caused such damage, physical damage, emotional damage. Hang in there. There is always hope with the God of the Bible. The 5th commandment is very important. In the first 5 books of the Bible, there are only 3 people that we're told to honor. God, and our father, and our mother. The first 4 commandments are about honoring God, the God of the burning bush, I am who I am, the self-existing one, the God of the plagues, and the Passover lamb, and the Red Sea. Honor him because he is worthy. And honor your father, and honor your mother. Do you see again, these commandments are linked. One leads to the other. If you want to honor your heavenly father, you will also want to honor your earthly parents. Question is, what does that really look like? How can we picture this 5th commandment in practice? And there's all sorts of things that we could say at this point. Here are 3 ways that we can honor our father and our mother. Firstly, respect them. Respect them by the way that you listen to them. Toddlers and teenagers should use their organs in proportion. If you have 2 ears and 1 mouth, which we do, we should listen twice as much as we speak. For teenagers, that means giving your parents both ears. Not just 1 ear while the other ear is stuck in a headphone. If you're in your car with your mum, or if you're at the meal table with both mum and dad, unplug yourself. Listen to your parents. Guys in Connect and guys in youth group, you will feel pressure to listen to anybody but your parents, your mates at school, especially your mates who are perhaps 1 or 2 years older than you. You will feel pressure to listen to them. People will be talking about celebrities, their opinions and beliefs, and you'll be tempted to follow what they tell you to do. There might not be a problem with that. But don't stop listening to your parents. Listen to their ideas and their insights. They've known and loved you for longer than anybody else. So hear them out. Respect your parents by the way that you speak to them, both in public and in private. Tell them the truth. Don't lie, even if that means owning up to a big mistake. Or even if the big mistake was made by your parents, don't then slag them off with your mates. That's disrespectful. Perhaps for adults, we can respect our parents by the way that we think about them. Once we've had children, our tendency is to think that our way of parenting is better than the way that our parents did it with us. We can think less of our parents. We can be critical. We can even be quite crushing. But our children will grow up too. And perhaps they're going to feel the same way about us. You did a rubbish job just as your parents did a rubbish job with you. So we need to show our children respect. We need to model to them what it means to respect our parents. Talk about the positives. Value them. respect. But secondly, care or serve. Remember, this commandment was given to ancient Israel. And at that point in history, there was no such thing as the National Health Service. There was no such thing as a welfare state or a pension scheme. When they entered the Promised Land, which was where they were headed, who was going to look after the older generation? Well, it had to be the younger generation. Those who loved God would love their parents. You see, God has given parents and children responsibility for one another at different stages of life. At the moment, Alice, my one-year-old daughter, very much depends on Charlotte and me. We dress her, we feed her, we wipe her mouth, we wipe her bottom. But as she grows up, she will become increasingly independent. By the time she gets to secondary school, she'll be dressing herself, feeding herself, wiping her own mouth and bottom. But as she does that, Charlotte and I will be going in the opposite direction, from independence back to dependence. The first birthday party is very similar to a 91st birthday party. The birthday boy or girl, whether they're 1 or 91, kind of just sits there. They're the least excited person in the room. They probably don't even realize it's a birthday party. A 1-year-old and a 91-year-old can't blow out their own candles. They don't have the puff to do it on their own. They need help. And for a first birthday party and a 91st birthday party, it's other people who gather the friends together. They might not even really be their friends. But people bring them in, sit them down and say, here you go, here are your friends. First birthday party is very similar to a 91st birthday party. When parents grow old, they become dependent on their children again. The cycle is complete. And we honor our parents by caring for them, by serving them when they're old, just as they cared for us and served us when we were young. There aren't many things as important as caring for and serving our parents. Even Jesus Christ, when he was saving the world, cared for his aging mother. As Jesus was crucified, he saw his mother at the foot of the cross and he said to one of his disciples, care for her. And from then on, John took Mary into his own home. And here at the Village Church, there are very good examples of godly children, godly sons and daughters who are caring for elderly parents, who are walking with them through all the changes and challenges that old age brings. And God says in his word, that is good and right. That honors them. Teenagers, you can care for your parents too. You can serve your parents. So let me ask you a question. Are you a help or are you a hindrance at home? Because shopping, cooking, hoovering, tidying, cleaning, washing, ironing, whilst working a part-time or a full-time job is difficult and demanding. You can care for your parents. You can serve your parents by getting involved in the day-to-day running of the home. So respect, care and serve. And thirdly, obey. Grab a Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. It's on page 1177. Ephesians chapter 6, page 1177. This is a letter written by a Christian called Paul, writing to a small church in Turkey. And in chapter 6, verse 2, he refers to the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. But have a look at verse 1, where Paul says, this is what it looks like to honor your father and your mother. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's not cool to obey your parents today. We live in a time and place where children and young people rule the roost. In countless homes in Emerson's Green, it's the children and young people who call the shots. God says, if you're a Christian, there is only ever one reason to disobey your parents. The only time you can ever look your mum or your dad in the eyes and say no is if they're asking you to dishonor the Lord. Otherwise, God commands you to do what your parents say. Obey your parents. That honors them. At this point, I also want to speak to those of us who are fathers. Not because I'm an expert, I'm really not. But I want to speak to fathers because that's who God speaks to next. In Ephesians chapter 6, straight after the command to children comes a call to fathers. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's almost like Paul is saying, look, fathers, it's going to be hard for your children to be obedient. Don't make it any harder for them by exasperating them. Don't provoke them to the point of bitterness and resentment. Don't be overcritical or overstrict. Watch out for being irritable and impatient, and be as consistent as possible. When you say you'll do something, do it. Be affectionate towards your children. That's what it means to bring them up. Be gentle and tender. Express your love for your children, even for your teenager. Whether your teenager knows it or not, they need you to put your arm around them and give them a hug. So that's a picture that we get of a godly family in the fifth commandment. What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? Respect them, care for them, serve them, obey them. But secondly, we get the purpose, or the why should we honor our parents? One of the reasons is because rules and regulations keep people safe. In the game of rugby, for example, there are rules about how to tackle and how to scrum and how to ruck. There are regulations about how to pass the ball and how to kick the ball. But imagine if the governing body for the sport, World Rugby, decided to scrap every single rule and regulation. They made referees redundant. They no longer used that television match official, the TMO. It was all gone. Imagine if there were no rules, no regulations, no referees. Who or what would stop the high tackling? Who or what would stop the eye gouging in the scrum or the stamping in the ruck? Answer? Nobody. Without rules and regulations, the sport would be a mess, and so would the players. There'd be more blood than there already is. There'd be more broken bones. The reason for rules and regulations is to keep people safe. When the players adhere to the rules and regulations, when they listen to the referee, when they respect him, when they care for each other, when they serve each other, when they obey the rules, they'll enjoy the game. Very similar with the Ten Commandments. God doesn't give us the Ten Commandments to hurt us, but to help us. His rules and regulations are there to keep us safe. When they're broken, life is painful. When they're obeyed, generally speaking, life is safer. God gives us the Ten Commandments for our good. And that's part of what he says in commandment number 5. Honor your father and your mother. Why? So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Remember, there was no NHS in Exodus. If the children didn't look after their parents, old age would be really hard. If the children did look after their parents, generally speaking, old age would be easier. For the Israelites, this command was for the good of the nation, for their health. And I wonder, it's not so much for our health today. We do have the NHS. But it is about our happiness. Generally speaking, when we honor our parents, the family unit is safe and secure. If we're disrespectful, if we don't care for them, if we disobey them, it doesn't help, it only hurts. Breakdowns in family relationships between a father and a child or between a mother and a child, whether we're adolescents or adults, causes real heartache. Some people here will know that from very bitter experience. Some people here will have wounds that haven't healed. Maybe that is where you're at this morning. This sermon hasn't really helped you. It's not encouraged you to live as a godly child or a godly parent. It's just reminded you about all the failure that there is in your family, other people's failures, and your own faults. Perhaps you can look back and see where you've broken this commandment again and again and again. Whether your parents were honorable or not, you've ignored them, you've rejected them, you've shrugged them off, you've considered them insignificant, you haven't valued them, certainly haven't considered them worth their weight in gold. Maybe you look at this commandment and it makes you aware of how much you've broken it. You feel guilty. You feel ashamed. That brings us to another important lesson about the Ten Commandments. Another reason why they exist. On the one hand, they restrain us from wrong behavior. Like how rules and regulations, generally speaking, will restrain a rugby player from making the high tackles. But on the other hand, the Ten Commandments reveal when we have gone wrong. They show us when we screw up. Like in rugby. The rules and regulations are very clear. They make it perfectly clear what a high tackle is. If you go in above the shoulder, you've broken the law of rugby. It's obvious when that happens because the law is there, it's written down. It deserves a yellow card or a dismissal. In a similar way, the Ten Commandments show us when we've screwed up. They reveal our sin. They show us when we're right and when we're wrong. They show us what it means to worship false gods. They say worshipping money or sex or power is wrong. They show us when we misuse God's name. It reveals that we think and speak and act in a way that dishonors Him. And here we have the fifth commandment. It shows us what it means to dishonor our father and mother. Or it shows us that dishonoring our father and mother is breaking God's law. The Ten Commandments show us that we're guilty, that we're all lawbreakers. Just as the rugby player deserves to be punished for the fouls they commit, so do rebels who live in God's world as lawbreakers. The God of the Bible is holy and just, and His law says lawbreakers deserve to be punished. The Bible says we are all desperately lost. But the Bible also says that we are all deeply loved. God is gracious and compassionate. He loves us so much that He sent His Son, a Son who always honored His Father, who respected Him and served Him and obeyed Him. The Bible says Jesus Christ came to live in our place. He lived a sinless life. He came to die in our place. He died a sacrificial death. And for all who turn and trust in Him, whoever we are, whatever we've done, adolescent or adult, there is forgiveness on offer. And there is a family that you can belong to. If you're a Christian here this morning, you're free from that penalty of sin, from death. You've been forgiven. If you're a Christian here this morning, one day you will be free from the presence of sin in your life. You can look forward to an eternity as a member of God's family. If you're a Christian, you've been adopted. You're a precious child of God. And your heavenly Father really is perfect. Where your human father was weak, where they perhaps only seemed to love you when you succeeded or behaved, or when they had time and energy, our heavenly Father is very different. He never fails us, and He never stops loving us. One more thing. Have a look at Exodus 20, verse 12. Do you see how it refers to the land? It talks about the land. For the ancient Israelites, they were on their way to the promised land, a place called Canaan, this country that was flowing with milk and honey. There was everything they'd ever need and everything they'd ever want in this place. We're not on our way to Canaan. For the modern Christian, for the person who has turned and trusted in Christ, that promised land is a picture of something far greater than new creation. A remade world where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Where the old order of things will have completely passed away forever.